Appreciate your prayers this morning. This is not the place that is my comfort zone. I didn't know if the Lord would give me anything to bring here, but the Lord has just really inspired me with a few thoughts, and I feel like that the Lord wants me to share them this morning with you all. So I really appreciate your prayers this morning. This time of the year, my mind always gets to thinking about Jesus and the wonderful gift that the Lord has brought to us. I think of the song that says, He comes to make His blessings flow far as the curse is found. Another song says, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. And I know it's after Christmas. It's not Christmas time anymore, but it takes a while for those things to get out of my mind. And the Lord has just been really inspiring me with these things. So I want to think about what the Lord did this morning and the example that He left for us. I want to start with Psalms, the first chapter, and the first verse this morning. I'm going to lay a little foundation for the thought. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I want to look again at this verse. It says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You know, I think that in nature, God has put many things that we can look at and we can get lessons of who God is and who we are and what the Lord wants to do for us and what He expects out of us from things all around us. I like to go look at big trees and just marvel at the beauty of them and what God has created there. You know, if I bought some land last year, and I have a lot of trees, and I love to just go walk in the woods, and sometimes I'll come by a tree that has fallen down, and you know, the instant that that tree dies, what happens? That wood starts to rot. That tree can be there for hundreds of years. There's a bristlecone pine tree that they say is over 4,000 years old. I'm not sure how they know exactly how old it is, but it's been there a very long time. And they say that that tree is still alive and flourishing. What happens if you just take a board, if you leave a board of wood out in the weather? It immediately starts to rot, doesn't it? But a tree is made of wood also. And you have this tree that's got all these branches and then smaller branches that come off that and then down to the littlest, tiniest twigs. And that wood can be out in the weather and in the rain and the snow and all the things that make wood deteriorate. And that tree, that wood does not deteriorate. Why is that? It's because it's connected to something. It has life, doesn't it? And this is what this scripture is comparing. It says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Here in Oklahoma, I've noticed that the biggest trees that are here are down by the river, the big cottonwoods. And they have something that they can get their nourishment from. And as long as they're there, that wood remains fresh. It remains healthy. And it says his leaf also, you know, it says that it bringeth forth his fruit in his season. And this is where I want to tie into my thought this morning. You know, that tree brings forth fruit. And that is for the benefit of others, birds, animals, people, and they get that fruit, and it's good, and they receive nourishment from it. And another thing about that fruit, it's got seeds in it. So when somebody or something comes and they get that fruit, they take a seed with them. And that fruit, when it falls, it plants other seeds. I want to go now to Matthew, the 20th chapter, and the 25th verse. You know that Jesus, he had quite the disciples that followed him around. And sometimes I look and I marvel, did these guys write some of the books of the Bible? But they really did. The Lord just kept working on them, and he had by no means a perfect team that followed him around while he was here on earth. But he worked with them, and one time they got an argument about who were going to be the greatest. And it says, Jesus called them unto him and said, "Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." This was the focus of Jesus' mission here, was to give his life as a ransom, to serve others, to be a minister. And the word minister doesn't mean necessarily a preacher. It just means a servant. And Jesus did that all the way up until he took his last breath on the cross. The thief that was hanging there on the cross received mercy and help from him at the very end. And the Lord told us this for an example. Sometimes I think we can get bogged down in our life and we can think, you know, I have problems and I've been hurt by this person and I've been hurt by that person and I've had adversities and things that have come and I just can't do anything. And you know, the Lord wants us to be like a tree and our lives will produce fruit. And that fruit will be beneficial to others around us. You know, we went to see someone a while back in the nursing home. And it was a very elderly person that had a lot of physical ailments. And I went there and I thought, well, we'll sing and we'll pray and talk. And hopefully it'll be a blessing. Well, I want to tell you, this person was a blessing to me. We got there and they started talking and telling about how the Lord had blessed them and what the Lord had done for them, and started telling us stories and started encouraging us on what to do. And it was a person that they had a lot of wisdom, and this person laid there in that bed, couldn't get up. And when I left, I felt like that they had come and visited me instead of me went and gone and visited them. And you know, I believe that is the way that the Lord wants us all to be this morning. We can't just be sitting at home and receive and receive and receive and never give. Sometimes we're in a place, and I know that the Lord takes people from all sorts of situations. And there are times when we are needy and we need others to help us. But there comes a time, I believe, that the Lord wants us to be, for there to be an outflowing from us to help others around us. You know, sometimes we might think, I can't do anything. I'm not as talented as this person over here. I can't talk like this person over here. I can't sing like they can. I don't know. There's a lot of reasons. You know, there's a scripture over in James that it says, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. You know, there's this also in Isaiah 40, it says, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill made low. You know, that was a prophecy of the Messiah and what he came to bring. Jesus came to make us complete in him and him alone. We can be complete no matter what our situation is, no matter what we can do or what we can't do, and no matter if we're rich or if we're poor. God wants to make us complete in him, where we don't need to be constantly fulfilled by others, and we can minister because we have something in our life that provides us with the means to do that. There's a scripture I want to get. Philippians 2. First verse. The third verse. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. You know, I think sometimes we can do things. I just want to say this as an aside here. When we're working for the Lord, let's not do it for acknowledgement. Or saying, you know, I've given and given. The Lord will bless me, but I, you know, it kind of stinks when we do that. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We're not here to see how great we can be, or how far we can go with our talents, or how much money we can accumulate, or how big of a house we can have. We're here to do the will of God. Well, I heard a message recently about the will of God. And you know, as long as we're doing His will, we will be fulfilled like we don't realize sometimes. I know it's been that way in my life. I remember sometimes I think we can think, okay, if I do this and this and this, that's going to fill my life up and that's what I'm going to do for the Lord. You know, I hired some people a while back. I was on a big job and we had to have some workers. And sometimes I can go down to the temporary labor agency and I can get some really low dollar an hour people and I'll have them sweep and pick up trash and unwrap things for me. Well, we needed somebody that was just a little bit higher skill than that. And I needed them to use a screw gun and a few other things. So we paid a premium to get these guys from the local labor agency. And they came, and every time I turned around, they were sweeping the floor. They wanted to sweep the floor. And they were busy, and they were doing stuff, but it wasn't the stuff I needed done. And so after a while, I had to let them go. Because they were doing, and sometimes I think we can get to where we're doing what's called busy work. I want, the point is to do the will of the Father. If the Lord wants us to do the sweeping of the floor, then that's where we're going to be fulfilled if we do that all day long, so to speak. If He wants us to do something bigger or something more difficult, then let's do it. It's the will of God. The will of God is that we serve Him and others. You know, I've wondered, I was thinking the other day, I thought, you know, what if the Lord had put these, I don't know what to call them, Holy Spirit stations maybe or something, where you'd go and there'd be angels there and you'd go and you'd get everything you need. And you'd be taught without any, you just go and, you see what I'm saying? Something that's here on earth that, I want to go to a scripture in Matthew 5 in the 13th verse. That's not the way that God set it up. It says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." That sounds a lot like the scripture we read about the chaff, doesn't it? The chaff that the wind drives away. I don't want to be chaff. And I don't want to be salt that doesn't taste any good. The salt that lost its savor, you can't use it for anything. What's the savor in the salt for? So that others can taste it. So that it'll enhance other things. It says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You know, I thought about this. We are the beacons, the stations, the points of light. That's the way God set it up. Sometimes I've wondered why God did it that way. But I know that God did it the best way that it could have been done. We are only reflectors of His light. But we are the ones that shine the light in the world. The world is getting darker. See all around me, people are hurt. People are hurting. What can we do to help them? We are the one. You know, we can look at somebody and we can say, "Oh, they need help. I hope they get help." Maybe the Lord is putting us in their path to help them. What can we do to help people around us? You know, there's another scripture. It talks about, it says, "Do all things without murmurings or disputings." This is in Philippians 2. "That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." I want to shine this morning. You know, the world, much of the world, teaches that we cannot be delivered from our sins. And that we cannot live free from those things that bind us. But I want to say this morning, I know He can. He's done it for me. He's delivered me from many things in my life. And if we go and we teach that kind of philosophy and we live that way, where we don't have the power to live above those things that the devil wants to drag us down with, it's not going to be light. It'd be like a flashlight that's got mud all over it. I don't want to be that way. Um, You know, the Lord decided to use people to teach His Word. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. I'm going to read a few verses in the first chapter. We'll read the 21st verse, and then we'll go down to the 26th verse. It says, "For after that, the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." The Lord uses us to speak to the world. And what kind of life are we living this morning? I want us to ask ourselves if we are prepared unto every good work. There are a lot of, the Lord dealt with me about this several years ago, and I kept getting this in my mind. The man of God needs to be prepared unto every good work. There, down the 26th verse, it says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Jesus Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." And the thought that I want to get from these scriptures is that when we shine as lights to the world, we need to point to Jesus. If we point back to ourselves, if everything we're doing points back to ourselves, we're going to miss it, and we're not going to help them. There are many, many preachers, many ministers and teachers and people in the world today that I believe God would have wanted to use and God wants to use to spread the gospel. But sometimes it seems like everything they say, it points to themselves in some way. You know, in Exodus, the Lord said, "When you build an altar to me to sacrifice, I don't want you to put your tool on it. You build it out of rough stones. Don't build it out of hewn stone, because if you put your tool on it, you've polluted it. You've polluted my altar." And I want us to think about this morning, that if we're going to serve other people this morning, whatever we do, the focus of it needs to point to Jesus. And I also want to say, you know, I have, on my land, I have a pond. And that pond has algae all over the top of it. It has some water in it. But the only water it gets in it is just what runs off of the hill that's behind it. There's a little bit of water, and when it rains and the water table's up there, it runs a little bit into the pond. It never gets enough in the pond to drain back out. And so it stays stagnant. And I was thinking about that. You know, we can live our whole lives trying to be ministered to by others. And we can come and we can be given to here and we can get here. But if we don't have Jesus in our life, That's the only source of anything good we're going to get. If we get it from other people, and if we just let it sit, and we don't have that spring. If I had a spring that was coming down into that pond would be good. It'd be clear water all the time. But it only gets a little bit, and what gets there evaporates, And then it gets a little more and it evaporates. There's not enough to keep it going. We can be like a stagnant pond this morning. I believe that the Lord wants us to be connected to Him in such a way where we can help those around us. Maybe we've been hurt in life. Maybe people have hurt us. Maybe they've offended us. Maybe they meant to, and maybe they didn't. You know, those people have souls too. The Lord wants them to go to heaven. You know, have you ever thought that the Lord might want you to use you to help the very ones that have hurt you so bad? And we need to get beyond the hurt and say, I want them to go to heaven. We heard the other night about what love is, and it's counting somebody else valuable. So valuable that we're willing to do whatever it takes to help them get to heaven. You know, a few months ago, I had a dream, and I was about to board an airplane, and several others were with me. We were going on an international flight, and right before it got time to board the plane, I realized that all my luggage, it wasn't checked. All my stuff, it was, and I didn't even know where it all was. And we were going, and in my dream, we were going over on a mission trip to help some people, and I had to stay behind because all my stuff was not ready. You know, we can help those around us, but if our life, if our own life is in disarray, and all of our stuff is unorganized, so to speak, if we want to teach people to overcome their anger, but we have anger ourselves, bitterness, whatever, we have to be clean to be able to help those people. If all of our stuff is in disarray, we can't go ourselves. The scripture, we need to be clean. Then this is something that I see out in the world. Much of Christianity in the world does not teach that you can be clean. And that is a problem today with a lot of the efforts that are made to be lights in the world and to serve. Because if somebody looks at me and I say, you need what I've got, and they say, well, what do you have? You do this, and you do this, and you do this. I've heard people say that before about other people that were trying to deal with them that were claiming to be Christians. The scripture in Psalms 15, it says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh approach or against his neighbor. In whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. I appreciate the Holy Spirit this morning and what it can do. You know, the Holy Spirit, I believe, can give us discernment, but it can also give us power to be a minister to others, even when we don't feel like it. It can give us power to have an outflowing and be a help to those all around us. I don't know, I'm just so burdened this morning that we do this, that we don't live as an island or just a self-entity that doesn't have anything flowing out of us. How are we ever going to make a difference in this world if we don't do what Jesus told us to do? You know, the Pharisees, we heard earlier in the meeting about the Pharisees, they would do things too. And they would give money, alms, and they would fast, and they would pray. And, you know, I was reading, let's go to Matthew 6 in the first verse. It says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." You know what that reward is? It's the recognition of the people that you're giving to. That's the reward, and that's all that it is. I was reading about this sounding the trumpet thing. And what I read, what they feel like they did was, the top of the altar, the top of the money box in the temple, had a funnel coming out of it that was shaped sort of like a trumpet. And when the Pharisees came to give their alms, they would bring a great many coins with them. And a lot of times they'd bring them in smaller denominations, so there'd be more of them. And they would, when they put them in, they would strike it against that trumpet-shaped funnel with great force so that everybody could hear what they were putting in. That's what this is talking about. They had their reward. Their reward was that they got recognized. But there's a greater reward this morning to be had. And it says, if you do that, you have no reward of your Father. It says, "When thou doest thy alms, do not let thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." And you know, when we give like that, when we give money or we give our time or whatever, it's a sacrifice to the Lord. And a sacrifice means that there is a giving of ourself. If we do that for recognition, it is a sacrifice immediately followed by an indulgence to our flesh. They cancel each other out. And that is not something that the Lord is pleased with. I believe that this morning the Lord wants us to have an outflowing to others. What does the Lord want you to do this morning? There's all kinds of things that we can do for the Lord in all kinds of ways. Let's ask the Lord this morning what His will is. Let's prepare our lives for His work. Be prepared unto every good work. Let's be ready for the Lord to call us to whatever. Let's serve the Lord in whatever capacity that we're able. You know, sometimes I know that we don't have it all figured out. We don't know about this and that. And I have a lot of questions about some things. And there's things that I kept telling the Lord, you know, I don't know about this and I don't know about that. You know, I was cleaning my shop a while back and the Lord started talking to me. I came in there and my shop was horrible. It was a horrible mess. We'd been working in there. We hadn't put our tools up. There was unorganization. And I looked at it and I knew I had to clean it. That was the highest priority. And I looked and I said, how am I going to do this? I don't know. I don't even know where to start. And I looked around. I said, well, there's a bunch of trash and I know what to do with that. So I started taking out the trash and I got all the trash cleaned up. And I said, all right, that router laying on the floor, I know where that goes. I put it up. I saw something else laying on the floor, and I said, okay, there's not a place for that. So I made a place, and I built shelves. And I just tackled one thing at a time. Yeah. And the Lord started talking to me while I was doing that. You know, sometimes we don't know everything that we're supposed to do or everything that we're supposed to figure out in life. But let's do what we know to do at the time. And the rest will follow step by step. I don't think the Lord wants us to know everything at the beginning. He reveals it to us. But if we go along and we say, you know, I can't do anything and I'm not going to do anything because I don't understand this over here. But if we understand this over here and we're not doing it, that's where the problem lies. We do everything that we know to do. And the Lord will reveal to us as we go on if we're honest and we seek and we work to know His will. You pray for me.